This is an interview with Governor Attia. This is tape 60, side 2.
On the From Our Roberts race, I was telling them, I don't understand you guys. Yeah, Frohmeyer is not where you are. But at least he's closer to where you are than Roberts is. And I said, you know, if Frohmeyer is elected, at least the door is going to be open. That doesn't mean you're going to get an agreement, but at least the door is open. With Roberts, the door's closed. I don't understand what you're trying to achieve.
You think they understand that now?
No, well, maybe they understand it now. Then they didn't. They were going to win. And I don't know whether it's naivety or ignorance, but the fact is that they just didn't quite see that.
Or is it that they would rather go down abiding by their principles than...
Yes, there was some of that, too.
Uh-huh.
There was some of that, too, sure. And so what did they do? You know, they elected the governor that was so far away from them. It was incredible. And yet, I think they've seen that. So, as they keep intimidating, I just cannot believe that they're going to relive that Frohmeyer-Roberts thing again. It didn't really help them. It certainly didn't help the OCA as an organization. They lost memberships as a result of that. They've gradually built it up, but they lost memberships because of it. I don't think they want to relive that. So yeah, they could do something like that. And yet, you know, I'm going back to Vic Attia, Tom McCall, Roger Martin. I won. What I'm saying to you is I think in a better campaign, Dave might have won anyway.
What political activities have you had since leaving, and you've been involved with, other than what we've already talked about, in terms of ballot measures, initiatives, and things like that?
Well, I was against the last OCA gay lesbian. I'm trying to remember the number.
Ballot measure 9.
I was visibly against that measure. I did think we should write discrimination into the Constitution. That's basically what I was thinking about. And, you know, he kept telling me that the Bible says, and my glib answer was, I tell you, I'm just going to let God decide that. You know, I'm not going to make that decision here. Let God make that decision. And yet, you know, I was going through the Bible, and the first and greatest commandment is love thy neighbor like thyself. That's the first one. Now, how in the world can you, if they say the Bible, they go read it somewhere else, but so what the Lord's saying, this is the first and greatest commandment. How does that match up? If they're telling me they're religious zealots and the Bible says, how does that match up? It doesn't match up. I've never had a chance to use that in an argument with them, but I'm looking forward to that opportunity. I've been involved with the candidates, indicating to them that I'm willing to do what they would like. I use the joke, you know, I'll be for you or against you, whichever helps the most.
Well, who have you helped?
Well, none of them really have used me as much as I would have liked to have been used.
Did Frohmeyer?
No, not Frohmeyer, not George Bush. You know, I was willing to do a lot more, and I think I could have done a pretty good job at it. But the thing is that I'm not looking at polls, and they are. I still believe, though, in polls would show my favorability as being pretty good. And as time moves on, it gets a little better. So I think I could help. But I sure do give a lot of free advice. They come and see me. I've already talked to Denny, and I've talked to Craig, Denny Smith, that is. Craig Berkman, Greg Walden, they come and see me. But once I give them advice, they don't always take it. So not much you can do about it. It's their campaign, not mine.
Were you involved in the property tax limitation measure number 5 in 1990 at all?
No. Well, yes, I was opposed to it. Again, not as much on the stump as I'd like to have been.
Maybe that was 92, actually.
1990, you're right. The 91 legislature faced it for the first time, only the effect was rather small, knowing full well that it was going to be bigger in 93 and bigger in 95. And of course, we've now gone through 93.
Anything else in terms of sales taxes or any other measures?
Oh, I was involved in the you know, smaller issues, the triple trailer deal. I was opposed to that and used my comments in that regard. I'll pick and choose. You know, if I believe in something, I'll do it. If I don't, I won't.
What about some of your other activities that you've been involved in, civic activities? And principally, I'm thinking in terms of the Boy Scouts.
Well, the Boy Scouts came to me before I left office. And they wanted me to be the chairman of the endowment for the Boy Scouts. I said, well, sure, I'll do that, but give me 6 months after I leave office, which they were nice enough to do, so I got cranked up into that. Scouting has been the most consistent long-term volunteer thing that I've done. It runs for many, many years. I've been involved with the Japan American Society, as you know. I finally became president for 2 years. I believe that's good work.
What did you do for them?
Oh, you know, it's hard to tell. You keep it going, you keep it exciting, you keep the people interested. We were involved in USA Japan. It's a major event. The society directly was. We had Kabuki, which was a major event. Actually, the whole idea behind the society is to broaden understanding between Japan and the U.S. Japan and Oregon, actually, is our responsibility. It's a major country. It's a major ally of ours. It's an important ally of ours. Now, there is a lot of misunderstanding on both sides. And so that's what the role of the society does. So you do things that aren't directly on target, but still try to get people under just by display of things. World Affairs Council wanted me on their board. I overdid. I was on the Oregon Historical Society board, which is something I always wanted to do. Washington County Historical Society board. I'm on the Warm Springs Museum board. But you know, I overdid it. I finally, I told Charlotte Kennedy in the World Affairs Council, I said, look, I really don't want to go to meetings anymore. And when it came time, I said, I'd just as soon, you know, leave the board. And she said, no, she wanted to keep me in the board. Well, I said, you know, as long as the board members know that I'm not going to come to meetings, I don't want to be on the board and have them think that I'm a slacker, because I don't think that's a fair thing to do. Oh, she'd take care of it. Finally, it was handled very nicely. The fellow said, we really appreciate it. I forgot who it was, called me, and we would like to have you on the Board of Overseers or whatever they call it.
Advisory board.
He was very nice about that. And I said, oh, well, that's fine. Thank you very much. Which is where I wanted to be initially. I said to Charlotte, hey, don't you have something that's advisory? You don't expect too much. I help them. I mean, they call, and we've got foreign visitors, and I meet with them, and I'm happy to do it, but I just don't want to go to meetings. I left the Washington County Historical Society. I regretfully left the Oregon Historical Society. I mean, I just had too much. Oh, I had too much to do. I'm on the Board of Trustees of Pacific University. And they finally came to me a couple of years ago and wanted me to be the chairman of the Pacific Intercultural, well, it was then Institute. We changed it to Foundation. And I said to Bob Duvall, the president of the college, said, okay, I'll do that, but you take me off all these other committees I'm on. And so we made a deal. But really, I'm thinking, these are all good causes. I believe in them, but, you know, I've gone through that. I didn't think I'd be president of anything, let alone the Japan American Society. I've done all of that. And this is not a matter of any kind of egotism. I mean, you get kind of tired of doing it. I came back one time from some meeting and I told Rosanne, my secretary, I'm getting tired of going to meetings I don't run. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm another thing I keep thinking of, I'm chairman of the Board of Governors of the Oregon Golf Club. I'm on the Board of Governors and I'm chairman of that. Well, I'm running the meetings. And I've got some very bright adults, but nonetheless, I finally say, okay, now we've talked enough about that, let's move on. I worry about the fact that I'm on that Board of Governors for, well, it'll be 2 more years. I have a 3-year term, but you can only be chairman for 1 year. Well, I worry about who's the next chairman going to be, but I can solve that. I can always go home. I don't have to stick around. If it gets to be 9 or 10 o'clock, I'm going home. I mean, that's all there is to it. And so I can solve that part of it.
What about your business, Atiya International? Maybe you could tell me a little bit about
Make the separation. Atiya National actually is my son's business.
Okay.
And mine's Victor Atiya and Company. And we're office together. He asked if I'd be on his board, but this is all family kind of thing. He has rugs made in China to his design. That is the People's Republic of China. He's doing very well at it. He's a hard-working young man, and I'm very proud of him. I decided that when I left office, first of all, I told my brothers before I left Salem that I wasn't going to come back to the rug business. I just didn't want to do that. I'd been my own boss, and although my brothers and I really got along very well, although we argued and sometimes rather vociferously, but the fact is I think the success of our business was that we each brought something to the table and that we continued as a good business. But I didn't want to do that anymore. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And because of my travels and the fact that I'd met people overseas and already knew how to go there and come back from there, and I didn't have to relearn something, that's what I thought I would do. So I started my own business. It's interesting when I was talking with some of the Japanese, well, how large is your business? And I said, well, that's just big enough to take care of the business that I have, which I thought was a pretty clever answer, because there's just Rosanne and me. That's my company. And I don't think they would like that, to realize it's just two of us. But that's the other part of me as a former retail merchant. I've seen others that leave office, and they get fancy downtown office space, and overhire, get electronic equipment of all kinds, and I'm pretty cheap about the whole thing. I pay a low rent, and you know, I'm not fascinated by fancy quarters, but I've enjoyed it. It's been interesting business. It's kind of frustrating, particularly the trade part of it. You know, those things that I say defy gravity. You've got all the balls in the air, but they don't come down. And but it's interesting. I mean, I've dealt with a whole lot of different things.
Well, who are your clients, or who have been your clients?
Well, on the consulting side, there's two parts. One's consulting, one's trade. And I use trade, and people think that's import-export, so I picked the wrong word. Broker is a better name for what I do. But on the trade side, I've been on retainer with Fujitsu and Epson, Seiko Epson. Recently, Fujitsu has been really cutting back all over the place, and they sent me a letter saying that it's discontinued, but that's only been very recently. So for all the years, up to 2-3 months ago, it was those two. I have done some work, all over the place, products like electronic, what do they call, emergency signals from airplanes, a manufacturer here in Oregon, vacuum delivery of babies. I'll have to go through some property that that Mook Kabali had. It doesn't need, that's a nice piece of property. We haven't sold it. Most recently, pantyhose. A friend of mine called me, some pantyhose from Czechoslovakia.
Pantyhose?
Pantyhose. I'm not an expert on some of these things that I'm talking about.
I hope not.
Well, it was just a matter of finding somebody. You know, I knew, right. knew somebody in Costco, and see, that's really the niche that I can fill.
Uh-huh.
You know, he calls, well, I know somebody at Costco. You know, so that's how it all happens.
What about for governments that need a liaison to other governments or other businesses, say like the city of Portland or the state of Oregon or the county or whatever?
Well, I could do something like that, but if it constitutes a lobbying, then that's not what I'm interested in. It's something that if I could do it, I've suggested that I could serve very well as a consultant to government. When I say that, not necessarily this government, Japanese government, Saudi government, China government.
What's the difference between a consultant and a lobbyist?
A lobbyist actually goes somewhere constantly, runs, I call the trap line, but go to Salem and get to meet all the folks, and if a bill comes up and goes, and he's constantly there. You know, my consulting, I actually did go back to Washington, D.C. for Fujitsu, and that was in countervailing trade, where there was some dumping provisions, and they thought they were going to charge extra duty. And Fujitsu was in the middle of all of that. I did go back, I did testify before the committee, but I really didn't have to. That was cosmetic. I actually took care of it all by telephone right here in Portland. And because I knew people, and I knew what the decision was before it was public, and informed Fujitsu of it, and it happened to be favorable. I don't go back to Congress and walk the halls, or when something comes up, I might call somebody, or several somebodies.
How much time do you feel you put down in your business a week? Do you know?
Well, in terms of business, I was going to mention when we were talking about the volunteer effort, I came in and told Rossanne, I said, there is nothing on this week that has anything to do with business, and I'm busy. I'm going to this meeting, that charity, whatever. The business part of it doesn't consume an awful lot of time if I measure it in sense of time. Which you don't have to spend a lot of time at it if you know what it is you want to do. Let's go back to pantyhose for just a second. You know, if I didn't know, then I'd have to call somebody that maybe did know and then see if I get an introduction. You know, you go through that, so you spend a lot of time doing all of that before you make the contact. In my case, I didn't have to do all of that. I just made the contact. If somebody wants to do business in Japan, for example, they could spend 3-4 weeks there trying to find out who to talk to. If they would work with me, but get that done, and maybe an hour or less. So, you know, the volume of time is not that significant, but that's because of both my business and political contacts that I've been able to make, not just as a governor, as a retail merchant, as someone that's been involved in the community for a long period of time.
Does it ever connect with the rug business at all at any place?
No.
So it's just pure coincidence that you happen to be above where the rug company is?
Oh yeah, well, actually more than coincidence, because my brothers and I own this building.
Ah, I see. Okay. Yeah. Also, is that also connected to the Woodlark building next door, or is that separate?
The building next door?
Yeah.
That's a separate building.
That's a separate building.
We own this building right here.
Down to Rich's Cigar Store?
No, not that far.
Not that far.
Well, it seemed to me there's a little, there's a...
Forest?
There's a florist in there that's not in our building.
Okay, all right. So it's like a quarter of a block.
Yeah.
On the northeast corner.
Yeah.
Of this is Park, isn't it?
Yeah, Park and Washington Street.
Washington.
Yeah.
I see.
Southwest corner. We're on the southwest corner.
Isn't
south is this way and west is that way.
But you're on the northeast corner of this block, aren't you?
Oh, the northeast corner of the block.
Of the block, yeah.
Yeah, but the building's on the southwest corner of the street, of the block itself.
Maybe you could tell me a little bit about some of the travels that you've done on behalf of groups and concerns, and then also personal travels that you might have done since leaving office.
I did quite a bit of travel to Japan, Korea, and Taiwan. And to, quite a bit to those three places, and Hong Kong, and a couple of trips to the Middle East. But I finally got to the point, because it's pretty expensive to do all of that. Of course I knew people and I was friendly enough to be a little more frank than normal. But I can recall, I think the last trips I said to them, I can't keep coming here just to see my friends. I've got to do some business. It's interesting. One would think, okay, he's governor. He's been known as a governor, let's say the Far East. And so it's easy. They're going to give him something just because he's formerly a big shot. And that's not true at all. Actually, it took me a while to realize it, but a former governor, which is a very distinguished post in their eyes, should be out groveling for money. You ought to have a surrogate out there groveling for you. You just stand above the crowd. Well, so what? Basically, for a historical note, it just doesn't happen. You see things like that in Washington, D.C. They leave, John Sununu leaves chief of staff, and the next thing you know, he's got it. I heard he was getting something $40,000 a month from some company. A month. And they go on boards and all the rest of that stuff. I thought I'm young enough. I run the biggest business in the state. I could be on a board. Well, I'm on Rydell board, but I've known Art Rydell for a long time, and of course I know something about environmental work. And I'm on Bank Audi board, but that relates to the Middle East.
Have you gone back to the Middle East, particularly for your for pleasure or business or both?
I'm trying for business, and then I'd slip over to Syria, and in the sense of going to my home again. I've visited, as I mentioned before, President Assad each visit I've gone.
Since you've left?
I met him twice as governor, mm-hmm. and once since I left governor.
Were you received any differently after you were?
No. No, I'm. They're pretty proud of what a Syrian has done. But it's not as easy, for a former governor as one would think it would be easy. The position, the people get kind of warped by the national picture that they get exposed to quite a bit. So they just overlay that into the governor, the former governor. Like, for example, while I was governor, I had a staff, I had a mansion, I had all those things. And there's, of course, and I've said on the tape, I had nothing. I rented from the state. We brought our own furniture down, our own silver down, our own dishes down. Dolores did the cooking, But that's not the perception that they have. They have a perception that once you leave office, that just everybody's ready to give you money, and you got all kinds of perks, and they don't have anything like that. Nothing. When it's over, it's over. And so it might be an interesting perspective that I have to work at what I want to do. And it doesn't come easy. It doesn't come any easier for me than it does anybody else.
Do you do any more fishing now?
No, more, yes, than I was governor, but still not as much as I'd like. And golfing, I'd like to do that, but not as much as I would like either. But I guess it's just, it's my fault, much of it. I worked all my life, and it's very hard for me to say, oh, I'm going to take off this afternoon, or I won't come down today. I can't get quite that frivolous about it. And yet I can do whatever I want. I mean, I'm my own boss. I don't have... whenever I have a meeting, I'm the only one there.
Do you feel driven?
No, I don't. I don't, really. It's just that... It's just my personal makeup doesn't allow me. I just had an invitation to play golf in the what they call a Capital Club, which is the lobbyist down in Salem. They have a golf tournament. And so Al Thompson, who is Jerry Thompson's husband, called and said, you want to play again? I'm looking at the calendar. That's next week. Monday, I'm going to be at Kaneda and then Warm Springs with Fuji Television, the president of Fuji Television. Mm-hmm. And Tuesday, I'm going to play golf with him. And Wednesday, what's on Wednesday? But I've got something on Wednesday. It's going to keep me out of the office quite a bit. Thursday, which is the day he wanted me to play, was wide open, nothing. But then Friday, I'm going out to play golf at the new golf course built by some Japanese out by Gresham. And this has been long-standing. I say that to you, maybe I will, probably I will, because I'm going to have a grandchild also next Friday.
You are?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Who is this, Suzette?
Suzanne, yeah.
Suzanne.
So I'm looking at it.
Uh-huh.
Now, there's no reason in the world why I can't go golfing down in Salem Thursday. It's wide open. But I'm saying, you know, I'm going to be gone a good chunk of the week. You know, I shouldn't really do this. So I said no. You know, it's just that, just it's not unlike when I was governor that I told you earlier, I'd go overseas and they'd ask me to play golf or do something. And I said, no, you know, I'm here. I'm as a governor. I'm supposed to be going. I'm going to work while I'm here. And that's just my nature. So I can't blame anybody. I mean, I'm not crying about it. I'm not blaming anything. That's just sort of the nature of who I am.
Can you relax, though?
Oh, yeah. I relax and I sleep each night, and you know, I don't carry any burdens. I don't lay awake at night and think about things.
How do you relax?
I don't know.
Look at TV?
Oh yeah, I watch TV and I love the quiz shows. I don't go for the heavy stuff on television. I'll watch Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune, and of course I watch the news.
Mm-hmm. And which news do you watch?
Channel 6.
That's CBS.
That's CBS. I watch that. Dan Rather.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Republicans don't like him, but I think he's real good.
What about McNeil Lehr?
I don't watch that.
Why not?
I don't know. It just doesn't interest me.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I get enough of that sort of stuff. I don't really. I've had all that I want.
Uh-huh.
And then if there's nothing, I do like Monday nights. That's Evening Shade and Major Dad and. And I do like Murphy Brown.
You like Murphy Brown?
Oh, I think Murphy Brown's great. I think it's wonderful.
Are you really a Republican? After all the comments by Dan Quayle?
Well, he deserves it. He really does. You know, I just can't imagine why he'd pick on Murphy Brown, but I think we covered that.
Yes, we did.
You know, why he picks on Murphy Brown, I don't understand. But then, if there's something, I'm still, you know, awake. I'll switch over to the Discovery Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's some great stuff on there. Just the other night they were talking about how the world was made and how plates shifted I like it. So I'll watch that. But I've long since skipped all this heavy stuff. They start getting into mothers that are abused and children are this and all the rest. I don't watch it. It's not that I'm not sympathetic. I just, that's heavy stuff and I don't need it anymore. So light, when you say TV, yes, I watch it, but it's got to be light.
What about...
Incidentally, I am a real Republican because I don't watch Roseanne.
Murphy Brown is as far as...
Murphy Brown, I like.
Yeah. Oh, what about your family, Tom?